Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It's Vanessa Dunha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo here on this Wednesday afternoon. A pleasure to be in our host chair. Always a pleasure to be with all of you. Teresa's recovering from a cold. Just keep in her prayers. She lost her voice, but thank God she's getting it back. Happy to hear her voice. I have been texting her the last few days, but today we actually got to chat as her voice is coming back. Thank God. Father Mitch Packwell will be joining us here in this National Hour, co-production with EWTN. You hear him regularly with Teresa Tomeo. Of course, you all know him from EWTN. And there's so much to talk with Father Mitch about. We're going to try to get through as much as possible. You know, Father Mitch Packwa, Senior Fellow of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, a Jesuit priest and president and founder of Ignatius Productions, world-renowned lecturer, spiritual director for more than 50 Holy Land pilgrimages, and EWTN host of television and radio programs. So always a pleasure to talk with him. So we're going to start talking about first J.D. Vance's speech in Germany at Munich. I talked about this when I filled in for Teresa on Monday in my coach's commentary about this speech and freedom of speech and the attacks on the freedom of speech going on in Europe. It's very alarming, actually, and I have excerpts of the speech that I shared with Father Mitch that I talked about, where J.D. Vance, the vice president, brings to light where people are being arrested for free speech. In fact, people are being arrested for even thinking about praying privately in their home because their home is close to an abortion clinic. Like, I don't even know how they know what's going on in people's minds and hearts. You know, they're not verbally, they're asking neighbors to actually tell in other people for privately praying in their own home. This is complete insanity. So we'll be talking with Father Mitch about that. Also, President Trump is trying to expand access to in vitro fertilization. He signed an executive order Tuesday directing the Domestic Policy Council to find ways to make IVF more affordable. And so he promised this in his campaign. And obviously, this is a concern for Catholics, as we do not support IVF. So we'll, if we have time, we'll talk to Father Mitch about that. And also, celebrities constantly attacking Christians on public platforms and other people. Tom Hanks was the most recent in an SNL skit for the 50th anniversary. Now, I don't watch SNL. I haven't watched it in years. But I saw the skit on social media. It was alarming, appalling. Most people focus on the fact that he was making fun of MAGA people and calling them racist and, you know, insinuating that anybody who voted for Trump is a racist. But really alarmed me was mocking Christians, because he made a comment like, you know, making fun as being portrayed as a racist white man voting for Trump, saying, oh, if, you know, if we just followed Christ and went to church more, we wouldn't be in this mess, mocking Christians for believing that. Well, I do believe that. And I will not shy away from saying that. I'll say that over and over again. If we did not move away from God, we would not be in this mess today. And he's mocking that. And I'm so tired of these people, these elite, ignorant celebrities who have made all their money on their fan base. He just offended more than half the United States of America, many of them who supported him and made him rich because they went to see his movies, is making fun of them. I'm so tired of it. And so what do we do as Christians? Well, you know, we have power in our money. Stop supporting these celebrities. Stop revering them. Stop putting them on pedestals. Stop being entertained by this, by Hollywood, who thinks it's okay to continue to mock Christians. So there are things we can do. And if we have time, we'll talk with Father Mitch about that. But, you know, I spoke up. You know, I posted on X and I tagged I tagged SNL and NBC, who produces SNL, and Tom Hanks. And I think we have to use the power of our money and our time by not supporting programs like that. Jesus was very clear. You deny me to man, I deny you to my Father. And by supporting entertainers and entertainment shows that mock our faith, that are unchristian, that make fun of Jesus, is denying him to man. We can't do that. And so we have to find ways to speak up with love and charity and show these entertainment companies, this is not okay with us. We're not going to support this anymore. I mean, these very celebrities are rich and famous and live in their little bubble because of the fans they mock. Just think about that. They're mocking the very people who put them in the position they are today to live this elitist multi. And Tom Hanks doesn't care about anybody not going to his. He's so rich, it doesn't matter. You know, he's wealthy. He's at the point, you know, in his career that he's so wealthy that boycotting him wouldn't matter. But we have to stop supporting these people and putting them on pedestals. So we're talking with Father Mitch today. And then Joan Lewis joins us, as she always does, here on Catholic Connection with Teresa on a Wednesday. And a lot to talk with her about. And we continue to pray for Pope Francis as he is in the hospital. We know that he now is, it's being reported that he has double pneumonia. And she'll be talking with him about the health of the Pope and the Vatican news and everything else that's going on in the Vatican that she can share with us. We'll see how much time we'll have to get into the several stories and what she has her pulse on as she continues to write regularly about Vatican news in her blog, Joan's Rome. So it is approaching 7 minutes. Here on Catholic Connection. Again, I'm Vanessa Dunn, filling in for my dear sister in Christ, Teresa Tomeo, and it's time for the news. Well, we're still in the teens in northern part of Michigan, my hometown, 15 degrees in Sault Ste. Marie, and then we head more south to the Detroit area. Closer where I live, 21 degrees is the high today. Chicago is still in the teens, 17 degrees there. Minneapolis, just 8 degrees, just the single digits there. Rapid City, 2 degrees. Billings is 3 degrees. So cold around parts of the United States. And then, of course, gets a little warmer on the West Coast, just a little. Seattle, 51 degrees and rainy today. And we're looking at San Francisco, 58 degrees, cloudy skies. Los Angeles, 72 degrees, partly sunny there. Phoenix is cloudy and 79 degrees. El Paso, Texas, 66 degrees. San Antonio, 38 degrees. And we look more down south in Florida, 81 degrees in Miami, 78 in Tampa, Jacksonville, Florida, rainy at 58 degrees, Atlanta, 45, and rain showers are expected there. Charlotte, 37 degrees, and snow is expected. Washington, 29 degrees in snow. New York, 34 in snow. Buffalo, New York, 18 in snow showers. And Boston, sunny and 28 degrees. It's definitely still winter here in the United States and all over the country. Pope Francis has pneumonia in both of his lungs. The Vatican updated the condition of the 88-year-old Tuesday, saying laboratory tests, chest x-rays, and the Holy Father's clinical condition continue to present a complex picture. The pontiff has been hospitalized since Friday. Earlier, the Vatican announced all the Pope's plans for the rest of the week have been canceled. An archbishop will fill in for Pope Francis for this Sunday's Mass at the Vatican. A federal judge is in declining a request from 14 states to temporarily ban Elon Musk from accessing data at 7 federal agencies. The state's attorneys general had asked for a restraining order to block Musk's DOGE agency for firing employees and getting access to sensitive records. They argued the power granted to Musk by President Trump was unconstitutional. The judge, however, said in a Tuesday's ruling that the attorneys general didn't have specific examples of how DOGE would cause irreparable harm to the states. More DOGE firings are hitting the Food and Drug Administration's medical device unit. Michael Kastner has that story.
10% of the staff got pink slips over the weekend in another DOGE downsizing move in a federal health agency. The FDA Center for Devices and Radiological Health, as it's known, is responsible for reviewing medical devices, artificial intelligence, and diagnostic tests to decide whether they're safe and effective. 200 people, mostly probationary employees, are being discharged.
Kansas lawmakers are pushing through a bill that will ban transgender health care for minors. Last year, Democratic Governor Laura Kelly vetoed a bill that would have banned hormone therapy, puberty blockers, and gender-affirming surgery for people younger than 18. On Tuesday, Republicans in both the Kansas Senate and the House voted to overturn the veto, allowing the ban to go into effect. Under the bill, Kansas health care providers who provide transgender care to children will be stripped of their medical license. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has an afternoon in court appearances scheduled connected to federal corruption charges against him. Scott Pringle reports.
A judge ordered the mayor and Department of Justice officials to appear in court to discuss the reasoning for the DOJ ordering the case against the mayor to be dropped. That order has caused a lot of backlash, which includes resignations from federal prosecutors and four deputy mayors in the administration. Adams denies allegations he made a deal to cooperate with the Trump administration regarding immigration matters in exchange for getting his case dropped. Governor Kathy Hochul, who has the power to remove Adams from office, will be monitoring the outcome of the court appearance one day after holding meetings with key city leaders regarding the mayor's situation.
President Trump is trying to expand access to in vitro fertilization. He signed an executive order Tuesday directing the Domestic Policy Council to find ways to make IVF more affordable. Trump promised during his campaign that he would mandate free IVF treatment if elected. President Trump says he may impose tariffs of 25% on automobile imports.
Car plants are being canceled in other locations now because they want to build them here. And you read about a couple, not that I want to mention names or anything, but you read about a couple of big ones in Mexico just got canceled because they're going to be building them in the United States.
Trump said Tuesday that he'll have more to say in April. He also said he could enact 25% tariffs on pharmaceuticals and semiconductors that could go substantially higher. Governor Kathy Hochul will send the National Guard into New York prisons as she urges correction officers to stop striking. Natalie McGlory reports.
Hochul says the strikes are illegal and must end immediately, but she will still send the National Guard to an undisclosed number of corrections facilities to protect inmates and staff if protests do continue. Following a violent uprising at Collins Prison, officers at Collins and a nearby correction facility ditched their shifts to protest their working conditions. That led officials to cancel visitation at more than a half a dozen prisons. The current labor contract does not expire until March of 2026, but the governor has directed her team to meet with union leadership.
Kohl's has announced plans to close several stores across the U.S. by April 2025, including the San Bernardino e-commerce distribution center, which will close in May. The San Bernardino facility, operating since 2010, will be placed by newer, more efficient centers that can handle customer orders. Kohl's also plans to close 27 underperforming stores, impacting more than 1,150 locations. Affected employees have been offered severances or other positions within the company. More Americans are beefing up their emergency savings. Nearly a third of the adults recently surveyed by Bankrate said they have more in an emergency fund than they did a year ago. Over half also reported having more savings set aside than credit card debt. Bankrate chief financial analyst called it evidence that more Americans have been able to make progress in building their emergency savings as the pace of inflation has slowed. Egg prices are taking a beating. A new report from the USDA says wholesale egg prices jumped 40% over the last 30 days. That means a dozen eggs cost distributors $7.44. The price is expected to climb with shortages continuing and distributors passing down the cost to consumers. The rising number of bird flu cases is being blamed for ongoing egg shortages. It's 13 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio. When we come back, Father Mitch Pacwa will be joining us.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession, and when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he said, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
We're back here on Catholic Connection. Joining us now, as he always does, speaking with Teresa here, Father Mitch Pack was with us, and there's so much to talk about. Father Mitch, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you. How y'all doing?
We're doing good. A lot going on. And one of the things that I really wanted to talk with you about, and I talked about this on Monday in my coach's commentary, but I wanted your perspective on J.D. Vance's talk in Munich, his speech, which got a lot of commentary and publicity when he addressed the issue of freedom of speech in Europe. So what was your take on that talk?
You know, it's first of all something that I have found disturbing of late. For instance, a friend of mine here works at the network, is from Scotland. That's his home. And he was there to give his kids, who are Americans, you know, born here, a little taste of Scottish Christmas. You know, they living in the South, they don't see snow and some of the other traditions that they have. So he was doing that. And he told me when he got back home how concerned he was about the lack of freedom. He said, I was afraid to say things. And he said, and that's not the Scotland he grew up in.
Yeah.
At all. I mean, we oftentimes are have notions of William Wallace and, you know, freedom and all that cry. No, not quite now, and this is not a good sign.
Yeah.
And he's speaking of it not just in Scotland and Great Britain, but it's an issue that shows up elsewhere on the continent. In Germany, recently there were arrests of people for things that they had said, I think, at home. And in Scotland, I guess I sort of mentioned them, if you pray on your own, you know, just in your house for things against abortion, you can be prosecuted.
Yeah, and how do they know that? So they're telling neighbors to basically call out neighbors who they think might be praying in their own home to protect against abortion. I mean, this sounds like something that goes on in Iraq. You know, my parents came from Iraq, and this was like what's happening in the ISIS invasion. You know, rat your neighbors out. I mean, this is what happens in a dictatorship country.
Yes.
I could not believe this. I was like, so how are you to know what someone's privately thinking or doing in their own home?
Right. See, this is a big issue. And, that one man that was arrested was quietly praying to himself across the street from an abortion clinic. And the priest asked him. He was an honest man. He said, I was praying because I think he had...
His girlfriend had aborted their baby years earlier.
Right,
and
exactly.
he was praying.
And he was praying for the kids.
Yeah.
He's arrested for this.
Yeah.
He's not even saying anything out loud.
Yeah.
This is unconscionable.
Yeah, it's alarming. Yeah, it is. And, you know, Father Mitch, I couldn't help but think that America could have been on this path if things turned differently in this election. And it's quite scary because, you know.
It was on this path.
Yeah.
That's one of the concerns many of us have. And I think we need to remember how, you know, fragile freedom can be. And this is a good example of it. So here, we very much need to have a sense of being vigilant about our freedoms is not something nice. No, vigilance about our freedoms and our rights and our obligations is essential. Essential. And we cannot omit that. Now, with such vigilance, we also have to make sure that we are doing things that are legal and righteous so that you don't do bad things. And I think this is one of the concerns of the far left. And it's fascinating to me how many folks on the left are defending a lack of freedom. I find that truly odd.
I've always thought of the left
as being very pro-freedom.
Yeah. Well, what I find even more odd, too, is not just the left, but the media, whose industry is dependent on freedom of speech, going after freedom of speech. I mean, it was just following that speech by J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio defended Vice President J.D. Vance's speech in Germany because CBS host Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation actually insinuated that freedom of speech weaponized to bring the Holocaust to Nazi Germany. It's insane.
It's insane because it is inherently stupid.
Yeah.
And if you study the Reich, you see that the last thing that they had was
freedom
of speech.
I know. And they don't even understand history or dictatorship. What do you think a dictatorship is? I mean, it's they start controlling you by taking away your freedom of speech. They control the narrative. It's propaganda. It's unbelievable they don't know history.
Well, here's the other side of that. I think is very important to keep in mind. Such freedom of speech is second to freedom of religion. Now, the left is not going to like that.
Yeah.
But that is the fact. Freedom of speech is secondary to freedom of religion. And these stories get precisely at that issue. Why? Why would freedom of speech be second to freedom of religion? Freedom of religion concerns what goes on inside your mind and heart in your own conscience, and that you have to protect that freedom of speech before you can the freedom of religion before you can defend the freedom of speech. You know, freedom of religion is prior because it is dealing with your right to say what you want and to think in your mind what you want to think. This is something that they are more than neglecting. They are rejecting, and I find that unconscionable. So these are very, very important issues.
Yeah, you know, and when they take away our freedom of speech and our freedom of religion, it's a form of control. That is what they're trying to do. That's how they start to control you, and that's what a dictatorship looks like, is that's what they start with. That's the biggest power they have, is taking away your ability to worship and to talk. And if we're not careful, like you said, Father Mitch, we got to take a break, we will walk down that path. If we're not cognizant of this, of what's happening in our country. When we come back after the break, Father Rich, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about President Trump's decision on IVF and what that means to the Catholic faith. So we'll come back with Father Mitch Pacwa, continue our conversation here on Catholic Connection.
Man failed the first test of freedom. He refused God's plan of love and chose freely to sin and made himself a slave to sin. That first sin gave mankind the gene or inclination to sin, which has given birth to numerous other sins. The Catholic Catechism reminds us that the exercise of freedom does not imply a right to say or do everything. Man is not totally self-sufficient, and his final goal is not his own self-interest and the enjoyment of earthly goals. When man violates the moral law, he becomes his own prisoner, disrupting neighborly fellowships while rebelling against divine truth. For freedom, Galatians tells us, Christ has set us free. He redeemed us from sin, which held man in bondage. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Family life is a ministry. We tend to think of ministry as the churchy stuff we do at church, but the word ministry means doing any activity that communicates God's love to another person. When we help our family love and worship God every day at home, we're doing ministry. When our families cherish each other with Christ's love, we're doing ministry. When our family is kind to others, or when we invite others to our home for godly fun and fellowship, or when we try to attend to each other's needs generously and cheerfully, we're doing ministry by doing things that share God's love with others. The ministry of domestic church life is among the most important ministries of all. And discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life. Check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
We're continuing our conversation with Father Mitch Pacwa. I'm Vanessa filling in for Teresa Tomeo this morning. And switching gears a little bit, Father Mitch, President Trump, I read in the news, is expanding in vitro fertilization. In fact, wants to make it free and affordable for people, if he could, free, at least affordable. What is your take on his IVF decision and what this means to Catholic faith?
Yeah, I think a couple things. This is certainly goes against Catholic teaching. And this teaching is not something that is arbitrary. There are a lot of problems that folks don't quite realize are problematic with IVF. For instance, a medical doctor, you may want to have her on to discuss this. Her name is Robin Pierucci. She's been on with Teresa before. And Robin has done research, and she even made a documentary video about the issue of IVF and the problems that she, as a medical doctor, has seen in this regard. I think it's called the Choices We Face. Mm. And I think she is trying to deal with the problems that she saw, not looking for this, but when she began to see patterns. She's a neonatologist, and so she deals with a lot of serious issues of premature children. And she and her colleagues found a link between in vitro fertilization and these difficulties.
Yeah.
Now, what that means to me is before people jump into this and before the government funds doing this, they need to go ahead and fund the research to see more about safety. That's not my role. I can't do that. But I would like to see that done for different folks.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, people, and this is hard for our society to understand, when they want a child, they want the child at all costs. We also want to see the conception of a child within the integrity of the relationship between the father and mother of that child. And that's why, you know, something like in vitro fertilization becomes problematic at its moral core, that this, you know, is not something that comes from the relationship with a man and a woman, but is something that is done apart from their own intimacy. We don't want to see that happen. Another issue that needs to be investigated, there are a lot of people, men and women alike, who are experiencing different kinds of fertility problems. What is the link between that and the early and long use of the birth control pill? What is the link between that and the way that, I've spoken to a urologist who finds among his male patients a link between their own infertility and their frequent use of pornography and self-abuse. Men in their 20s and 30s are coming to him for pills like Viagra because they have kind of messed up through their use of pornography and self-abuse, their own fertility. Now, is that universal? No. But, you know, this kind of information, the scientific studies have to be done. So far, they're seeing something happening with men and fertility and pornography use, but there's nothing proven yet. You know, this is practitioners making observations and wondering, what is the connection? Is it one, or is it just, you know, it just happens to go together, or is it actually inherently connected? I don't know that, but I'm reporting what, you know, a urologist is observing, and that kind of research needs to be done more. Mm-hmm. So I would be against the promotion of in vitro fertilization. Some people say, well, I thought you Catholics were in favor of birth. Yes, we are. But we're also in favor of the integrity of marriage, the marital act, and the conception of children. You know, all of this is part of what we seek to understand. Now, does that mean that, you know, the children are inherently flawed if this goes on? No. And in no way do you say, okay, we can't baptize these kids. Just, no, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
But we do want to say, in a society where marriage it's already very, very broken, We have still a high divorce rate, but in addition to that, we also have a very high rate of people, not getting married and yet living together. And often, and sometimes they are having kids together without being married, without that commitment. Is that about just a piece of paper from City Hall, as some people try to use rhetorically? No, it's not. It's about Christ Jesus being the center of the marital bond.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
having him centered, and that the sacrament and the holiness of matrimony, not the convenience of not having to change your name on your license, driver's license, and other things like that. It's not about convenience. It's about having that commitment to Christ and to the marriage bond that he blesses and that he needs to center. I preach to couples at their weddings that the reason you have to put God ahead of each other is because if you put each other ahead of Christ, you will expect each other to be as good as Christ, and you're not. But if you put Christ ahead of either one of you, you end up accepting each other as fellow sinners with your own faults, and that you work through them in the context of Jesus our Lord.
That
applies to marriage and childbearing as a whole.
Amen. Father Mitch Pacwa here with us on Catholic Connection. Thank you for being with us. We got to take a break, and when we head back, we'll be talking with Joan Lewis, author of Joan's Rome, her blog. We'll come back after this.
Sixty on 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The Eighth Commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. At one level, the reputation a person has is one of their most precious gifts, and to intentionally harm the good reputation of someone is a very grave matter. We can do this often through detraction, by disclosing others' faults without a valid reason, or calumny, just outright lying about other people. Likewise, through rash judgment. This commandment also protects the truth, which is another very, very great good. To lie is to speak something that we know is false with the intention of deceiving others. We ought to be dedicated to the truth. It is the truth that sets people free, while errors and lies entrap people in many difficult and often sinful situations. The Lord asks us to give witness to the truth of the gospel. This commandment therefore asks us to stay dedicated to the truth and to other people's reputation. The Eighth Commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
So as you heard me talk about in the news, and it's being widely reported, Pope Francis is diagnosed with bilateral pneumonia. This is a Vatican report, and to talk with us about that, the health of the Pope, and so much more, is Joan Lewis from Joan's Rome, her blog, and she's on with Teresa every Wednesday here on Catholic Connection. Joan, a lot going on, and we continue to pray for the Pope, but what's going on in the Vatican? What's being talked about?
Obviously, the number one story here on the media of many, many languages, and I don't mean just Vatican News, but I mean newspapers, TVs, etc., from around the world, the number one story for anyone interested in popes and the Vatican, is Pope Francis's health condition, which you know yesterday was the blow, I mean, of all the reports that we had received, the Holy Father resting, eating breakfast, having tests, and we knew that there was a polymicrobial infection. And then we learned yesterday, of course, that the Holy Father has pneumonia in both of his lungs, one of which he had on his right lung when he was 21 years old in Argentina. The Holy Father had a huge lung problem, and part of, I don't know how big, but fairly small apparently, part of one lung was removed, and he's had breathing problems over the years, as we've known from other hospital stays. For example, when Pope Francis was hospitalized in March of 2023, and then he went back to the hospital for a CAT scan in November of 2023, because that was to rule out at that time any pneumonia. But I've been trying to do research on so many of these medical things, which, and I'm obviously being very careful as I do not have a background as a doctor or a nurse, but I did read somewhere that when one has, as the Pope did, part of a lung removed at the young age of 21, that a lung can, partly heal itself. I don't even want to use too many words in order not to be wrong. But so anyway, we know about the problems he's had over the years and his entire health picture and the problems at the Vatican. And most of the time, it has been involving any of his breathing. But I think that right now, regarding bulletins, by the way, I publish twice a day, as do most of the media, two pieces of news about the Pope. The morning piece from the Holy See Press Office is usually quite general. You know, the Pope slept well, and I loved this morning's news was the Pope's slept well, he awoke, well, of course he did, and then he had breakfast. So they're more or less generic. But as you and I and probably a lot of our listeners know, the hospitals, when you're there for a day or just for tests, most of the tests are done in the morning. And so tests are then studied, evaluated, et cetera, et cetera. And if it's necessary, a test will be repeated. So that in the case of Pope Francis, you're going to have many doctors involved. They're all going to talk to each other and together. And so some of the results that they want to release to the public, they'll take a long time to be very careful about the wording. So my point being that most of the afternoon bulletins, so 6, 7 o'clock at night is when we get the information, they're the ones that contain medical information. But what's been so interesting, Vanessa, about this entire period of the Pope being ill, being in the hospital since February 14th, but about, 8 or 9 days before that with breathing issues, having someone else read his homily or the general audience catechesis, there has been absolutely no, capital letters underlined, news in the daily press office bulletin. Because you can go to Vatican.va, look at the bulletin, you can find it in, a dozen languages. Nothing about the Pope being in the hospital or being ill. So we get our news because the head of the Holy See Press Office will send an email to all of us. There's hundreds of us who are journalists accredited to the Holy See. So on a daily basis, about 10 every morning, we always get a look at the day's news. Very often at that hour, it's with embargo. But lately, it's okay if all of us get the morning bulletin. But a couple of times in recent days, the director of the press office has spoken to the media at the press office. Those of us who might be at home, there's people traveling. There's a huge amount of people at the hospital, Gemelli Hospital. And, of course, if he doesn't send, if a bulletin is not sent to all of us, several hundred Vaticanisti, those who are literally not in the press office, we end up finding out about this through the Vaticanista WhatsApp, link. Anyway, yeah. The news comes out, and I think they know right now in the press office that either the bullet has to go out to every single person, so no matter where you are, you read it on your phone.
Yeah.
But what they're also using, Vanessa, is the Vatican has Telegram, and that is an app whereby if the head of the press office writes only one message, you know, let's say a medical bulletin or the Pope, you know, had 17 things for breakfast. If he puts it on Telegram, and then I, as a journalist, we, the accredited media, we have access to that. So I think they're kind of clearing up some of the problems about information. Either we all get it or we don't.
There
should never be just the people present physically, you know, in the press office. But we're all kind of trying to get an education on the medical aspects, for sure, because you have to understand words, and I looked this up, polymicrobial infection. Well, poly means many, microbial, obviously referring to microcosms, and I can't think of the other word I want, but bacteria, et cetera. So the Pope's had breathing problems. We know he needed cortisone therapy for some of his issues. And then, of course, the worst part of the news that we got yesterday was the fact that the Vatican told us the Pope has the onset of bilateral, that is to say in both lungs, pneumonia.
Yeah.
And that will require further drug therapy. But the problem is, what can be a problem in this case is the fact if there are different microbes, different bacteria coexisting together, the doctors, Vanessa, have to look, whether it's Pope Francis or you and me, they would have to look at, oh my gosh, we've got four different possible medicines that we can give, but which one is going to do the best job in the presence of these multi-bacteria? So
yeah,
it can't be an easy decision for the doctors, but we've
And he's also 88, Joan. He's also 88.
Oh, yes, it's a small matter, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's not, you know.
Yeah, it's not. He doesn't have age on his side, unfortunately. The older you are and you're dealing with double pneumonia, the higher risks you have. We're talking with Joan Lewis, Joan's blog, Joan's Rome. We're going to continue our conversation after the break here on Catholic Connection. Don't go away.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here. We're going to Normandy, France in November to celebrate the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We'll also be in Paris for the opening of the resurrected Notre Dame Cathedral. Join us on a pilgrimage of discovery through the saints and shrines of France. Catherine Laborier in the Miraculous Medal, St. Therese of Lisieux, the Incorrupt Body of Vincent de Paul, a dinner cruise through Paris on the Seine River, and so much more.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Italy aficionado Teresa Tomeo's newest book is now out on the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's shrines and wonders, Teresa Tomeo provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how to best to soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Italy's shrines and wonders from Catholic Connections' Teresa Tomeo can be purchased at avemariaradio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
And we're back with Joan Lewis, Joan's Rome, talking about Pope Francis, who's in the hospital with double pneumonia. And Pope, John, what happens when the Pope is out sick? He appoints a cardinal to take over. Obviously, his calendar's cleared. But what happens in the Vatican? Who kind of takes over for him?
Well, in this particular case, given that this weekend is the Jubilee of Deacons, an audience, a Jubilee audience for deacons, as is happening for all of the major Jubilee events in the Vatican, Saturdays are usually reserved for the Pope speaking to the group that will come that week, you know, on whatever the given Jubilee is, in this case, for deacons. So that event has been canceled, but I don't know what has been put in its place. But anyway, Sunday, February 23rd at 9 in St. Peter's Basilica, Mass will be celebrated by a man that the Pope delegated to do it, and that's Archbishop Lino Fisichella. He's pro-prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization. So he will be celebrating Mass, and actually it's been his office that has organized this entire Jubilee of Hope for the year 2025. So in any event, you know, it would be whomever the Pope delegates. And then even when he was still at events himself, he had been in such bad health, as we could all see. I mean, yeah. Vanessa, just watching him breathe.
He was bloated.
On your own.
Yeah, his he was bloated. He was
very
breathing.
Very puffy face, a very big weight gain. You know, we haven't received anything official on the reasons behind those two things. You can go online and look it up, but I mean, again, I'm not a healthcare official. But, in any event, the Pope recently, as we know, and this was our big clue, he had aides at two of the general audiences. He had aides read his remark, and then last Sunday at the Mass for Armed Forces, you know, he had, he also had someone else read his homily. And so now we just have to look to future events. They have everything off the Pope's calendar through the 22nd of February, which I think is Saturday. And that's the Feast of the Cherub Peter, interestingly enough, one of the loveliest and my favorite holidays in the Vatican. So we don't have any news. It's all going to be dependent on what we hear in a couple hours. You know, it's going to be about 6 or 7 o'clock tonight, a couple hours Rome time, that we will get further a new medical bulletin. And, you know, we will learn if a change in medicine or therapy has helped the Pope. It is always good to hear, however, the bulletin usually adds that the Pope, you know, has, like today he's going to get a visitor, by the way. He's going to get Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Secretary of State, will be visiting the Holy Father. We will probably get news about that. And then the Pope's secretaries have been, as far as I know, the only people who have actually gone in and met with him, and I'm sure they've brought him documents and newspapers and things like that. So, but if doctors have prescribed total absolute rest, they're certainly not going to fill his room with visitors. And but the Pope seems to be, according to the press office, you know, he's taking things well, and he's enjoyed yesterday a whole, and I posted them on my blog. He enjoyed receiving a whole bunch of letters and beautiful drawings from children in the cancer ward of the hospital.
Aw, that's sweet.
So little things like that.
Yeah.
And he's being informed. And he's being informed that people around the world are praying for him. So he's very well aware of that and very grateful for our prayers. And people ask me if they can send cards to the hospital. I said, you know, at this point, you'd overwhelm the hospital staff. But if the Pope were to look you in the eye, he'd say, you know, please say a prayer for me.
That's
consider.
No, go ahead, Joan. Go ahead.
Yeah,
say prayers. Yeah. Well, I'll say prayers for him. Joan, could I just to go back to the Chair of Peter as celebrated this weekend? What happens in Rome as we celebrate the Feast of the Chair of Peter? So people have never experienced that.
It is so wonderful. It's one of 2 days a year, the other being June 29th, when the statue, as you walk up the main aisle of St. Peter's Basilica, the statue of a seated St. Peter, He is dressed with a with papal robes. He has a papal ring on the one finger on one hand, which is extended, and then he wears the triple tiara, indicating, which popes don't wear anymore, but indicating the power of the throne. And there's usually a big basket or bouquet of flowers by that statue, in addition to which, on the altar, in the apse, the altar of the chair, where the famous chair is, and that was totally restored this year, on that altar, there's about 120 candles, I think I counted once, that are lit on the altar. So it's just 2 days a year in which the bronze statue of the first Holy Father of Pope Peter, it's the one of 2 days in which he wears the vestments and there are the candles. And June 29th, which is the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, is the other day that you will see such fancy and prayerful celebrations in the Basilica of St. Peter's. So I always try and go pray before his statue and take some pictures on this day, and I will try again this weekend.
We'll look for it in your blog. Joan Lewis, thank you for being with us here on Catholic Connection. Joan's Rome, her blog. And we're going to wrap up this Wednesday afternoon. I want to thank our guests for being with us. Of course, Joan Lewis and Father Mitch Pacwa as well. Vanessa Denhagarmo filling in for Teresa Tamio here on this Wednesday. She will be back in her host chair. We wish everyone a very blessed day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.